All right, so in today's episode of the Rotten Rainbow Podcast, we're going to be talking about the My Hero Academia Exodus, is how I like to describe it as on TikTok. We're also going to be talking about the court case and the verdict for Daryl Brooks, the Christmas parade driver who caused a lot of trauma and remorse. Just a lot. This is a wild court case that went on. The whole United States was basically watching, and it was just ridiculous. And also, I'm gonna be giving you a Kanye West or Ye update because whoo, just keeps getting worse for this man every time he opens his mouth, as it should. More of this on the Rotten Rainbow podcast. Welcome back to the episode of the Rotten Rainbow Podcast. My name is Richard, and I will be your host, as usual. Okay, so before we begin, I just want to talk about a little bit what's going on in my life. So, I've been trying to figure out a way for me to record on the go because sometimes I don't feel like getting my computer, as I said last episode. I don't like getting my laptop out and setting up, and then sometimes I can't find somewhere that I can record in peace. So I'm back at the computer lab on my college campus, and I recently bought a tripod. Actually, no, it's not just a tripod. It's actually a vlogging kit, and it was $50, which I thought was, for Walmart's standards, it was fine. It's gonna maybe do the job that I needed to do. I actually really, really like it. There's always one fucking problem with something, isn't there? The microphone it which it came with is awful for podcasting purposes. Not for anything else, just for podcasting purposes, which is mildly infuriating, I swear to God. So everything else works just great. The tripod is perfect. I actually needed a tripod and like a filming kit so that I can start filming stuff for my newest video art project. That little snap you heard, by the way, was a Bluetooth shutter button, which is really cool. And it also comes with like a phone mount inside the tripod leg, which is awesome. I know the audio might come out a little bit strange because I keep moving it around. I'm really excited about this. You know, it has its own tripod, its own phone mount in one of the legs. There's another mount so that on the phone mount, you can put a screw through it and you can put a GoPro on it. Let me see what else is in here. Give me one second. Okay. I know you're in for some of it. Okay, so the phone kit also came with a extra mount, so you can hear it here, and it has two mounting options as well. One is for the microphone, in which you unscrew it. I know it's weird, just like describing things to you, but bear with me, guys. So you can like mount the microphone on one side, which is awesome, and then there is another mounting holder that you can put another thing you can mount, which is actually the light. And this tiny little like 1.5 by 3 inch light is powerful. Oh my God, I almost blinded myself on the max speed on the max light, and it also comes with diffusers, which is really cool. Needless to say, I just need to learn how to use this stuff. But the wildest part about this, I'm gonna start undoing all this stuff. The wildest part about this kit is the fact that the microphone doesn't work for podcasting because it creates too much of a feedback loop, I think. I think that's what's happening, is it creates too much of a feedback loop. And then it just sounds like a nightmare. So I think that's what's happening. But the wild thing is, it doesn't have the same problem when you are recording video because it comes out perfectly. So I don't think I'm going to return it back to Walmart. I think what I might end up doing is getting like a USB female to USB-C so I can plug it directly into my phone and use the microphone I have to record on the go. I don't know. I just really want a on-the-go setup so I can just record whenever I feel like it. Because honestly, isn't that the cool thing? Just being able to podcast wherever you want. And as you heard with the Anchor advertisement that came up before this this segment came up, yeah, it's just really cool. You whip out your phone and then you just start recording like I'm doing right now, except I just have a mount holding my phone. But it's still really convenient, and I think I want to just try to maybe get like a to-go setup so I can just record a podcast on the go. And I'm also thinking about going out into the world and talking to people and interviewing them about stuff, which I think would be really a really cool segment to do. But I have to maybe try to get like a good microphone. But enough of me. Let's get into our latest topics, which are what this world never ceases to amaze me. So let's just jump right into our first topic of the day. All right, so the first article that I keep reading it over and over and over again, and I still cannot believe that this person actually just decided to do this with this manga. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the My Hero Academia manga. I have not actually read the My Hero Academia manga. I haven't gotten around to it, to be completely honest. But all I know is that there's a lot of sexualization of minors on there, which is just fucked up. God, it's a lot. That fandom is wild. Why do we keep getting fandoms like this in manga? I guess Japan culture is different than American culture. I don't know. Perverts are different all around the world, but they're still perverts. Okay, let's just get back to it. This article is from comicbook.com, and it is titled, My Hero Academia Brings Hagakure to Life in Controversial Cover Art. Toru Hagakure is, I guess, the invisible girl in My Hero Academia. So here's how the article goes. My Hero Academia is back in the headlines these days, and we have new content dropping on two fronts. While the anime gets underway with season 6, readers are keeping up with the manga as its final act carries on. This week, fans were treated to a new chapter of the manga as always, but no one saw its cover art coming. It is truly insane. All right. The situation brought to life this weekend when My Hero Academia, by the way, I'm just going to call it MHA, My Hero. I just don't want to read all that. My Hero released its new chapter, and as always, it came with some special cover art. What fans did not expect from the artwork, however, to showcase a teenage girl in the nude. After keeping her invisible for years, Toru Hagakure is front and center in this key art, and she's entirely nude, save for some well-placed caution tape. And I mean, I am looking at the cover art right now. Who the fuck thought that this was a good idea? It's so weird. I like clicked on the tweet, and it's Yeah, the comments are just wild. That's so weird. I just saw a tweet that said, for everyone saying Toru is a minor, one, the age of consent in many parts of Japan is 13, so she's technically legal, and two, all of Class A are 16 years old. That doesn't make it okay here in America, bitch. Another tweet that says, I'm pretty sure it's 18 in most of Japan. But I don't even think that matters because fictional characters bypass the entire region behind age of consent, anyways. Just weird. Just fucking weird. All right, let's continue on with it. As you can see below, article-wise, the artwork is certainly jarring. The fans have had a hard time believing it was released officially. Hagakure has barely been featured in the manga with her true face, and of course, her body has never been on display like this. After all, character just turned 16 in the manga, and her status as a first-year high school student is hard to overlook. Very weird, very strange. I don't get it. I guess they had also come under some flack for Momo's revealing costume. I believe Momo is the frog girl. And of course, the discourse over Mineta and his lecherous behavior is never ending amongst fans. Then why do you guys support this? I get like there are some like characters that you think are cute or hot, but most of these characters aren't they just like kids? It just confuses me. I don't really know what else to say to this. This is just weird. Manga and animes, unfortunately, have had a long standing with this kind of stuff. Boys love turning into like making young boys the object of older men's affections in the comics. There's also, remember Black Butler? Remember CL Phantom Hive and everyone was shipping him with the Demon Butler? Who was like way, way older, obviously. Like CL, what? Sebastian. Sebastian was his name. That's his name. Sebastian the Butler was a grown ass man and CL Phantom Hive was still like 13 or some shit like that. One good example of it is actually the corset scene in Black Butler. I remember that scene so well. And how it was framed as like a sexual thing, but it was just Sebastian tightening the corset on CL. Like, I remember that so clearly. This has been going on for a long time, and like, everyone seems to find a reason for it to be okay, but like, mangas just need to do a lot better. I'm watching Komi Can't Communicate. That one's kind of cute. It's just high schoolers trying to figure out their own lives and all that shit. And Komi, the one who has a lot of anxiety in public. Oh, just got an email. What? No, stop. My phone's freaking out. It's like, oh, with Komi Can't Communicate, it's just like high school romance, you know, the start of something really adorable. And I don't know, with My Hero Academia, it seems really cute. Like I say, I have not seen the manga. I've only seen what, as an outsider perspective, so I don't really know what's happening in the manga. But the fan art needs to just calm the fuck down just a little bit, just a little bit. Oh, and I want to say one more thing before I go on to the next topic is the fact that so many people on TikTok are actually having mass exodus, which I'm just basically trying to say people are withdrawing themselves from the fandom because of the cover that came out recently of was her name? Hagakure being nude on the latest out, like the latest cover. So a lot of fans, young fans as well, are starting to renounce the My Hero fandom, and they're just like, they're done with it. So I thought that was interesting to see. Okay, I just had to fix my shit real quick. The next story is about a man by the name of Daryl Brooks. And I know most of you motherfuckers out there who are listening know exactly who Daryl Brooks is. But if in case you don't know, I'm just going to go over it for a second. This is an article actually by CNN.com. I have been seeing this story all over TikTok. I have been keeping up with it bit and piece with TikTok's help. This whole story is fucking insane. Okay, so this is the court hearing of Daryl Brooks, a man who drove his SUV into the Waukesha Christmas Parade. And here are the things that he is being charged for. Are you ready for this? This is a fucking insane case. Oh my. Okay. He is being charged on 61 counts of reckless endangerment, 6 counts of hit and run that have caused death. So he killed 6 people. 2 counts of bail jumping, all felonies in connection to the parade tragedy, and 1 count of misdemeanor battery. So in total, I believe it is 76 charges. Let's see. No, he was also convicted of 61 counts of reckless. Okay, saw that part. I believe he was charged all 76 charges. Basically, this has been happening in court for about 2 weeks now. It finally came to an end on October 26th, on Wednesday. He has been found guilty on every single charge that he was charged for. For the reckless endangerment, for killing 6 people, the 2 counts of bail jumping, the battery, and all the felonies that include that. The wildest part about this story, I will say, as it was going on, is the fact that he defended himself. He had no lawyer present. He was his own lawyer for the case. And oh my God, what a shit show this was. I kept watching this man just argue with the judge. By the way, the judge who oversaw this case, this woman deserves a raise for her amount of patience, for the amount of patience that she had dealing with this fucking man. She had to dismiss the jury because he was not being respectful. He was just pulling shit out of his ass in order to keep the case going. Finally, after a while, he was actually asked to leave the court. They had to like take a recess, actually, because the judge said that he was using intimidation tactics and was scared of the defendant. So they had to dismiss for recess, which she wasn't, actually. But in order to prevent him from, you know, basically getting what he wanted, she had to find a way to kind of put for the record that he is using intimidation tactics. He was just staring this judge down. And she said, you know what? I'll play your little game. And now it's just gotten even worse for him. But finally, the case has come to a close after all the debauchery and bullshit that was happening with it. He was actually faces a mandatory sentence of life in prison for the convictions. This is on the CNN article. Brooks, age 40, was also convicted of 61 counts of reckless endangerment, safety with the use of a dangerous weapon, the car, 6 counts of fatal hit and run, 2 counts of felony ball jumping, and 1 count of misdemeanor domestic battery. A clean sweep for the prosecution. Brooks represented himself in court and has been combative throughout the trial, repeatedly speaking over the judge, making inane and outlandish arguments. Yet as the stream of guilty verdicts were read, he looked down, put his head on his hand, and sat silently for once in this whole fucking case. The trial comes less than a year after he drove a red SUV through the crowd in Waukesha's Christmas parade on November 21st, killing an 8-year-old boy and several members of the Dancing Grannies group. Jeez, this is like, quite frankly, this has been one of the biggest shit shows I've ever seen. Ever. Worse than like, I can't even think of any famous court cases. The OJ case, the Ted Bundy case, all that kind of shit. Let's see. Brooks had been released from jail less than 2 weeks prior in a domestic abuse case on a $1,000 bail that prosecutors later acknowledged was inappropriately low. In that case, he allegedly ran over a woman who said she's the mother of his child, according to court documents. Prosecutors said in closing argument Tuesday, he intentionally drove through the crowd at significant speed, hitting 68 individual parade goers, turning a joyous afternoon into a horrific one. He reached speeds of 30 miles per hour. That's intentional. He plowed through 68 different people. How can you hit one and keep going? Oh, this is the county district attorney Susan Opper saying it. I remember this part. She was describing how he could just keep going after seeing the lifeless body of one of his hit-and-run victims fly over his SUV. How could he just keep going? Let's see. In the closing arguments, Brooke attempted to raise questions about the vehicle and its intent. In his intent, he repeatedly said that there had been misconceptions and lies about him during the trial. I've never heard someone trying to intentionally hurt someone while attempting to blow their horn while attempting to alert people of their presence. Bro, that doesn't matter. You still hit people. Maybe they couldn't move fast enough. I mean, you did hit, according to these pictures, 5 elderly people and an 8-year-old. Like, it doesn't matter how much you're honking the horn, you should have maybe not driven into a parade. Oh, God. We've been praying for this day a long time. Ugh. Oh, this fucking case, I swear. Let's see. Well, all in all, this is what essentially happened. Darryl Brooks hit people, killed people, injured a lot of people, turned a really fun parade into a tragedy. And then he defended himself in court with all these shenanigans. And the worst part is, he hasn't even said that he was sorry for everything he had done. The only thing that was really important to him was his point of view. His point of view doesn't matter because he killed people. Why does it matter now what your point of view is now that you ran into this parade and killed 8 people? Or 6 people, I'm sorry. He killed 6 people. 6 counts of hit and run that caused death. Like, this man is unbelievable. He still will not take responsibility for his actions. Man, fuck this dude. And we are finally to the end of the podcast. Bitch, there's one more article I want to talk about. And this one's about Yay, Kanye West. This is from the Independent, UK Independent. This is titled Kanye West Addresses Adidas Fallout in His Return to Instagram. I lost $2 billion in one day. But it wasn't just Adidas that left him as well. Let me see where it is. I'm looking at the article. I wrote it down too. Basically, Kanye West has now begun to lose more and more each day And honestly, he just deserves everything he's getting after his comments on George Floyd, on the George Floyd movement being bullshit, and his anti-Semitic comments that actually got him kicked off and banned on Twitter. Adidas is one of the companies that actually decided that they were going to just cut ties with Kanye West. Balenciaga and also Gap have cut ties with the rapper, leaving him to lose $2 billion. Now let me read some of the article from The Independent. Kanye West has returned to Instagram to address the significant decrease in his fortune after Adidas and the other brands, as I previously mentioned, cut ties with the rapper over his anti-Semitic remarks. On Tuesday, the athletic company announced, amid intense pressure, that it would no longer be working with West following his hateful and dangerous comments. Adidas does not tolerate anti-Semitism and other sorts of hate speech, the company said in a statement. Ye's recent comments and actions have been unacceptable, hateful, and dangerous, and they violate the company's value of diversity and inclusion, mutual respect, and fairness. Yeah, this dude, like, oh my god, he just lost so much money so fucking fast. As a result of the company's decision, West lost his billionaire status overnight. His net worth became from $2 billion to $400 million. Holy shit. His new $400 million wealth estimate is based off of his real estate portfolio, cash, music catalog, and 5% stake in ex-wife. 5% stake in ex-wife's Kim Kardashian shapewear company Skims. On Thursday, he returned to his newly reinstated Instagram, which was banned from a series of anti-Semitic remarks, to reflect on the news that he lost $2 billion in one day in the follow of his comments. In a post which was addressed to Ari Emanuel, the CEO of entertainment and media agency Endeavor, and captioned "Love Speech," West wrote, "Ari Emanuel, I lost $2 billion in one day and I'm still alive. This is love speech. I still love you. God still loves you. The money is not who I am. The people is who I am." Okay. West post comes after Emanuel wrote an op-ed about the rapper's anti-Semitism in the Financial Times, in which he said, "Those who continue to do business with West are giving his misguided hate an audience," which is very much true. Here's the thing about Kanye West, okay? He truly does not think that he is doing anything wrong. Who's going to stop him? Who? He believes that as a black man, he has done no wrong. He believes, and I remember reading this and talking about it last time on the last podcast I talked about Kanye West, where he said that he is going to go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people, and he can't be anti-Semitic because he's black and he comes from the same area where Jewish people came from. He's talking about like the Middle East. And, you know, like, Judaism is a religion, sure, yes, it's also a people, but you can't just go around saying shit like that and being like, well, I can't be anti-Semitic, I'm black. That's not how it works, my dude. You can't do that. You still can't do that. So, I mean, serves him right for losing $2 billion. I don't think anyone wants to work with his anti-Semitic ass. Shit, man. And I know this is going to cause even a bigger conversation about Jewish folks in entertainment, which obviously there's going to be different types of people in entertainment, especially Jewish people. They're fantastic. They're funny. They have a great sense of humor. After all the tragedy that Jewish people have gone through, of course they're going to have good senses of humor. Tragedy and comedy goes hand in hand. And I think, like, how do I describe this? comedy can come from a very dark place, in which that's where tragedy comes in. And I just think that, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I don't understand why Kanye West would even say he would go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. And then he would rescind that comment and being like, let me clarify. I'm just going to go DEFCON 3 on all the Jewish people that have done me wrong. Which still doesn't make it any better, by the way. It just basically says that if you haven't crossed me yet, you're safe. That's what it feels like. That's the kind of shit that like manipulative people say is when they go, what is it? When they're nice up to you say something wrong to them, and then it becomes this whole thing of, well, you've wronged me and now I have to take it out on you. That's some manipulative shit right there. So Kanye West losing $2 billion and getting a $400 million net worth on himself. Not the worst thing that can happen. He still has $400 million worth of, you know, stuff of net worth that he can live off of. So I don't feel bad for him at all. He's getting exactly what he deserves. And I don't know if he's still, I don't know if he's apologized for his anti-Semitic comment, but it just goes to show, like, anyone can be anti-Semitic. I'm pretty sure I was anti-Semitic when I was trying to explain the, you know, the entertainment thing and Jewish people being in entertainment. But I don't know how to describe it. But all I know is that entertainment, the world of entertainment, has different types of people. Jewish folks are no different. There's a lot of great Jewish comedians and a lot of great, like, Jewish producers who create incredible content. And quite frankly, I just 100% disagree with Kanye West shit. It's just, it wasn't necessary, and he just shot himself in the foot. So he's getting exactly what he deserves. Woo! Wow. There's a lot happening in this world right now. And that's just barely scratching the surface about, like, what I want to talk about. I also wanted to talk about on TikTok how the Manny Show was trying to basically be, like, disgusted with Jeffrey Dahmer, even though he made a video simping over Jeffrey Dahmer. I also just wanted to talk about, like, Carrie Hilson and what happened to her. Like, do you guys remember Carrie Hilson? Like, a really great singer. But apparently she got canceled by Beyonce fans for criticizing Beyonce about something. And so the Beehive basically just bullied her into withdrawing from making any more music. She was so good at it too. I also wanted to talk about, like, other things too, but there's not enough time in the world and we must end the podcast. Thank you again so much, guys, for listening to my podcast. If you want to support the podcast, please do. There is a link in the description that'll take you and you can go and support the podcast. It would be nice to be able to have enough money to buy, like, a new microphone or something to help benefit the podcast, but I'm not even close to being there yet. I don't have the listenership to even get there. So if you could just give the podcast a listen, let me know what you think. And I will be putting a question on this episode of the podcast for you guys to answer. Let me know. I'm very interested to know what your thoughts are about these topics. And yeah, you can listen to me on Spotify. That is the main place where I will be. You can also listen to me on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, FM.com. Anywhere where the podcasts are being streamed, that is where you will find me. And I guess I'll catch you guys on the next episode. So you guys have a good day. Bye.